Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Justin Symphony is having a few events next weekend. They have a Halloween concert and event for children on Sunday the 23rd at 3 p.m., They also have an Oktoberfest of Sound concert on Saturday and Sunday. Tickets for those shows at austinsymphony.org. To talk about those two shows on the 21st and 22nd is violin soloist and professor of violin, Elizabeth Kufarev. Thank you for joining us today on Inside Austin, Elizabeth.
It's my pleasure.
I know this is a very basic question and perhaps an oversimplified one. What's it like being a professional violinist? People dream of being rock stars and that sort of thing, but the reality of being a professional musician has got to be very different, right?
Well, being a violinist is a really wonderful, wonderful profession. You can take on many different roles. So, for example, next week I'll be the soloist in a violin concerto with the symphony orchestra, with the Austin Symphony. But often I play all by myself. I'm the only person on stage performing actually on violin and viola. I play a lot of contemporary music, but also Bach and other composers. I do a lot of chamber music as well. So I have a string quartet, the Tetzlaff Quartet, and I play recitals and other chamber music and other chamber music formations at festivals and throughout the year. And I'm a professor of violin at the university in Hanover. That's why I live in Hanover, Germany. And so playing the violin can be many different things. And in my case, it even includes playing the viola, the big sister.
Here in Texas, we assumed the only sister of the violin was the fiddle.
Yeah, that's another sister.
Well, you aren't just a music teacher. You are a college professor. You teach the violin to people who are looking to become professional musicians. You don't just play an instrument for a living, but you pass along that information and that talent. I would imagine there's something amazing about being able to do the same thing for your students that maybe a teacher did for you at some point. Being a professional musician has got to be thrilling, but being a teacher has got to be thrilling in a different way.
That's absolutely true. I find it very rewarding to teach the next generation. And actually, they teach me too. I learn so much from my wonderful students. And I feel that it's an honor to be able to pass on what I've learned. And I find myself thinking about my teachers a lot when I teach, especially Donald Weilerstein, who I studied with in Cleveland when I got my bachelor's degree. And so it's really a full circle, like you say, and it's giving and also receiving. And I do believe that I bring a lot of what I think about and experiment with in the lessons. I bring it on stage as well.
As a professor, I would imagine that COVID had a big impact on your ability to properly teach. What are some of the challenges that you faced?
And I was giving violin lessons on Zoom. And when I remember when I first started, I couldn't believe what I was hearing, really. And of course, my students were using their smartphones. And then, of course, Zoom really evolved, and there's this pretty good bearable setting with original sound, and that's better for music, but still double stops are really a pain on Zoom or trills or anything. It doesn't pick it up. But then we got used to it, and I think my studio, my class actually grew closer together because of it. And I would hold weekly studio classes online, and we'd talk about some of the big pieces in the repertoire, like all the Bach sonatas and partitas, or they made requests. They wanted to discuss the Beethoven concerto and analyze it. And I would sometimes do short technical workshops on various subjects. And the way I ended up doing it a lot was that I had my students send me videos over WhatsApp or WeTransfer, and I would listen to them and comment in their music. They would send me a PDF of their music, and then in the actual Zoom lesson, I had a much better idea of what they actually sounded like, because it wasn't what I had heard was recorded decently and not live over Zoom, where you sometimes run into a lot of trouble with the internet, depending on where everyone's living and what the connections are like. And of course, the other very difficult aspect of COVID for the young musicians, and also for my generation, was to see that we were really marginal, and it was hard sometimes to educate or to bring a young musician on their way into a professional life, where it seemed to be so so hopeless to make a living and to even be able to go on stage or audition for a job or go to a competition. So thankfully, those days are over and we're playing concerts again.
We are talking to Elizabeth Kufirath. You were just talking about COVID and how it impacted your ability to teach. Not to sound like a bummer or anything, but I would imagine that there were talented musicians who gave up during the pandemic because lessons were too difficult under those circumstances. They just decided to put the instrument down and walk away. That's sad.
Yeah, I'm sure there were, and I know of several professional musicians who just couldn't support their families anymore and had to take other jobs.
Yeah, you saw that here a lot in Austin. Many local musicians who were regionally famous, or maybe they had a song on the radio nationwide but weren't given the chance to be out touring or promoting themselves and their music, so they had to take other jobs, take real jobs. What made it even harder was the lack of bartending and service industry jobs that, not to be a cliche, that tend to be the gigs that they fall back on and that many struggling musicians have as their side job. The public tends to think musicians are rich or at least have money and are well off, but when struggling musicians can no longer be a musician, they were left scrambling.
Mm, yeah.
Elizabeth, as a professional musician, there had to be a moment that you realized you were good at this. I always like to ask professional musicians this question, but usually I ask it of guitarists or drummers or people who play rock music or pop music. As a violinist, when learning the instrument, when was that moment you realized you could do this for a living, or that you were better than most at it? Was it a particular song? Was it praise from a fellow musician or a teacher?
I don't know that I ever realized that I was better than anyone else, but I know that the Mendelssohn Violin Concerto made an incredible impression on me when I was very, very young, like a little kid, long before I started playing, and just the sound of the violin, the beautiful singing sound and the wonderful harmonies and melodies in that piece really just made such a great impact that I kept asking to be able to play. And I started on piano, and then finally I was able to get a violin and start violin lessons. But I come from a very long chain of musicians, dating back to 1797, the first musician by the name of Kufarat was noted. And so it was actually very natural for me to become a musician because my family is just full of them.
You'd be the black sheep of the family.
Yeah. No, there's actually a beautiful kind of family connection to the concerto I'll be playing in Austin because, Albert Dietrich, the composer of this violin concerto, was the music director of the Oldenburg Court Orchestra starting in 1861, I think. And during his 30-year tenure, my great-grandfather, Wilhelm Kufarat, was the principal cellist there. And so he may even have played in the premiere of this concerto and played under Dietrich, I'm sure, many, many times. And Dietrich was also a great friend of Brahms and Schumann's, and they composed the FAE Sonata together as a patchwork composition for their friend, the great violinist Joseph Joachim. So it's a really rich circle, like rich connection of musical friends. And my great grandfather was a part of that in a way. And so it's just been such a joy for me to learn this concerto and be able to perform it.
Well, that's pretty cool to think about the piece of music being an influence on your family for many generations and to actually have an active part in that piece of music.
Yeah, very much so. So it was very natural for me to become a musician. I can't really imagine what I would be doing if I didn't play.
I think that happens to a lot of people who have a particular talent or an interest that is almost all-consuming. They can't imagine doing anything else. A professional basketball player never envisioned himself working at a convenience store. There is no backup plan.
Right. There's also, of course, the aspect of the time invested. Like a professional basketball player, we have to really practice very hard, many, many hours every day, every year, and it becomes part of our lives and so much part of our personalities, the way we make music and the way we structure our work time and practice time and how we feel about music, how we think about it. And so it's really very much part of our identity.
We are talking to Elizabeth Kufarath, who will be performing with the Austin Symphony this upcoming Saturday and Sunday. She is part of their October Festive Sound event. Don't forget about the Symphony's Halloween concert and event for kids the following Sunday. You can find tickets and information for all that on their website, austinsymphony.org. So, Elizabeth, unfortunately, I am like most people when it comes to classical or chamber music. I know the names of composers and some random names of some random pieces, but I don't know much. This event being an Oktoberfest concert, can I assume the composers are all German like you?
Yeah, it very much is. So Schumann is, Peter Bay programmed a Schumann overture and the Dietrich violin concerto and a Brahms symphony, and they're all wonderful German composers. And I guess I'm a German girl. So Oktoberfest really originally is a very Bavarian thing, but I guess you have it even in Texas now.
There are a few Oktoberfest events going on. There's actually a fairly large German population here in Central Texas.
Right, yeah. It's interesting, yeah. I might have to go have some beer.
Beer is one thing you should have no trouble finding in Austin, German beer or otherwise.
Well, that's great news. I've actually been going to Austin every year. My husband is originally from Austin, and I've also performed at salon concerts many times, and so it's wonderful to be able to go back and see everyone.
I would imagine performing with the symphony orchestra of the city your husband is from has got to give you some good bragging rights.
Well, it's an opportunity that I'm very grateful for. I'm looking forward to.
We are joined by Elizabeth Kufirath, who is a professor of the violin and will be a visiting soloist with the Austin Symphony for their upcoming Oktoberfest of Sound concert, happening October 21st and 22nd at Bass Concert Hall. Tickets and information are available at austinsymphony.org. And also don't forget about their Halloween children's concert and event on Sunday, October the 23rd at 3 p.m. We're out of time, Elizabeth, but I can't thank you enough for joining us all the way from Germany.
Thank you so much.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!